Tonight is Tuesday night, June 11th. This is the women's Mishnah share. We're doing a topic on post-yontiv of Shavuos. Okay, Rabotai. I'd like to focus tonight on a topic that identifies two unusual halachot concerning post-yontiv. And they run counter. Both of them run counterintuitively, but nonetheless, these two items, which we'll discuss today, apply post, and it's particularly relevant to post Yontav of Shavuos. By other holidays, we don't have the phenomena we're going to talk about tonight. So, if you take the packet, we will start with the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga. And Aftes Amud Aleph. The Torah tells us that there is an obligation to make Aliyah L'Regel on Yom Tov. The primary obligation is to come to the Beit HaMikdash on the first day of Yom Tov. So it's the first day of Pesach, first day of Sukkot, and the only day of Shavuot. Says the Mishnah, Mi Shelo Chag B'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. Anybody who did not come to fulfill his obligation of Chagigah, the korban that you bring when you come to the Beit HaMikdash, is called a korban Chagigah, korban of the holiday. So someone who did not bring his korbanot on the first day of the Yom Tov, Chogeg Kol HaRegel, you are allowed to bring your korbanot the entire Yom Tov. So you can show up in the Beit HaMikdash on the second day of Chol HaMoed, the fifth day of Chol HaMoed, and bring your korbanot. And the Yom Tov HaAchron Shel Chag, and on the last day of Yom Tov as well. Avar HaRegel V'lo Chag, if the Yom Tov passed by, transpired, and he did not bring his korbanot, Eino chayav be'achariyuto. He is not held responsible any longer. In other words, there is no obligation to make it up at a later date. Once the chag is over, you have blown your opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of chagigah for that chag. Al zeh ne'emar. On this it is written, it's a pasuk in Kohelet, Me'uvat lo yuchal litkon. It is a mistake that cannot be repaired. Me'uvat is a mistake that cannot be repaired. V'chisaron, and something that is missing, lo yuchal lehimanot. It can no longer be identified, no longer be counted. Yes. Okay, this is not talking about Pesach Sheni. This is talking about your obligations of the Korban Chagiga, which you are obligated to bring. Now, Erev, we bring the Korban Pesach Erev Pesach. These are the Korbanot that you have to bring on Yom Tov for Aliyah L'Regel. As the Torah says, Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana Yera'eh Kol Zichurcha V'lo Yera'u Panai Reikam. Don't come empty-handed. You have to bring two korbanot. A korban ola, that's called olat re'iyah, and ola for showing up, for showing your face. And then, shalmei chagiga, a korban shlamim, which is divided, a section goes to God on the Mizbeach, a portion is given to the kohanim, and the rest of the meat is eaten by you and your family. So those two korbanot are obligatory three times a year. So if the Yom Tov passes, that's it. The only korban for which there is a makeup is Korban Pesach. And that's a different discussion. Why? But all other korbanot, if in the Beit HaMikdash they missed the daily sacrifice this morning, too bad, can't be made up. If they missed the daily afternoon sacrifice, can't be made up. There are no makeups ever in the Torah, except for Korban Pesach. Fine. The rest of the Mishnah just gives other illustrations of what might be mistakes that cannot be repaired. Like if somebody has relations with a woman that he's not permitted to have relations with, and they have a child, that child is a mamzer. That can never be repaired. That's a mistake that cannot be corrected. There is one opinion, I don't want to get into, Rabbi Tarfon, who says there is a way to cure a family from mamzerut. There is a way to do it. Because normally, a child who gets married is allowed to marry, a mamzer is allowed to marry a fellow mamzeret, or a convert, they're allowed to marry either or, but any child that they give birth to is also a mamzer. Every child they give birth to is a mamzer. So, most hold that's a mistake that can never be corrected. Fine, that's not our discussion tonight. Now we go to the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Minohani Mili, how do I know that you're allowed to, if the obligation is to bring it on the first day of Yom Tov, how do I know I can make it up on the last day of Yom Tov, or on Chol HaMoed? How do I know that? Maybe it's only the first day of Yom Tov. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rab Yochanan, Mishum Rab Yishmael. Rab Yochanan is citing something that Rab Yishmael said. Ne'emar atzeret b'shvi'i shel Pesach. The Torah uses the phrase atzeret on the last day of Pesach. You heard it yesterday. In the Torah reading of yesterday, the Torah says that that the last day of Yom HaShvi'i atzeret silachem kol melechas avodah lo tasu. It refers to the seventh day of Pesach. V'ne'emar, and it also says, Atzeret b'shmini shel chag. The eighth day of Sukkot is called Shmini Atzeret. So now we compare. Shmini Atzeret, I'll just read it inside in a second, let me just tell you outside. Shmini Atzeret is a very unusual Yom Tov. In certain respects, it's an independent holiday. We'll learn about which elements it's an independent holiday. For example, you make a Shechiyanu again on Shmini Atzeret. It has its own text in the Kiddush and in the Davening. We don't say it's Yom Chag HaSukkot Hazeh, we say it's Yom Shmini Atzeret HaChag Hazeh. And of a rough, we don't eat in the Sukkah. We don't take a Lulav and Esrog. So to some degree, Shmini Atzeret is an independent holiday. But on the other hand, it is also the last day of Sukkot. That's what it said. Shmini Atzeret. Shmini of what? Of the first day of Sukkot. And the Torah does not require us to make a separate appearance in the Beit HaMikdash on Shmini Atzeret. But the entire day is a makeup for Sukkot. If you did not bring your obligatory korbanot on days 1 through 7 of Sukkot, you're allowed to bring your Korban Chagigah on Shmini Atzeret. And it's called Atzeret. So we learn out, just as by Shmini Atzeret, you're allowed to make up the Korbanot of Sukkot on Shmini Atzeret, so too on the last day of Pesach, which is also called Atzeret, you are allowed to make up the Korbanot of the first day of Pesach. And if you did not bring your Korban Chagigah on day number 1 of Pesach, you can bring it on the last day. Well, once you can bring it on the last day, all of the days in between are also acceptable. So you start off by saying, we know that Shmini Atzeret is designed as a makeup day. In that respect, it's still part of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. In many other areas, as we said, it's not part of Sukkot. However, that's the unique feature of Shmini Atzeret. So too, the common word Atzeret is found by Pesach. Hence, you can make up the Korbanot of Pesach on the last day of Pesach, just as you can make up the Karbanot of Sukkot on the last day of Sukkot. Fine. Now, which holiday does the Gemara not discuss? Shavuos. Why do you think the Gemara doesn't talk about Shavuos? Because there's no... What day are you going to make it up? There is no... The Torah doesn't call Shemini Shavuos Atzeret. Even though, I should tell you, and you should know this, the Gemara's nickname for Shavuos is Atzarta, is Atzeret. That's what the Gemara always calls Shavuos. What do I mean? What does the word Atzeret mean? It's what? A stop? That's one interpretation. But there's another interpretation that it's a hold back. It's the last day of the cycle. It's a day where you, the way the Medrash explains it, people were ready to go home. And what did God say? Hang over one more day. Fine. So that's what Atzeret means. So we understand its use in relationship to Sukkot and Pesach. But why does the Gemara call it Atzeres? Because it's the hang up of Pesach. Because Shavuos, in effect, brings to close the drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get to Har Sinai. So in effect, Shavuos is the last day, is the real last, is the eighth day of Pesach. So there are 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Pesach. But there are, 42 days in between. And in fact, the Ramban describes the 42 days in between, like Chol HaMoed. That's how the Ramban describes it. Because the Gemara calls Shavuos Atzeret. It's the holdback of Sukkot. But just because you can call it Atzeret, it doesn't look like this halacha will be applicable on Shavuot. However, on page number 2, the Gemara says that even though logic dictates that there are no makeup dates, that's not the case. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Minayin le'atzeret sheyesh lo tashlumin kol shiva. How do I know that Shavuot, as I told you, the Gemara's lingo for Shavuot is atzeret, asks the Gemara. How do I know, Minayin, how do I know that Atzeret has a makeup for 7 days? How do I know? Answers the Gemara, Shine Emar, Bechag HaMatzot, Ubechag HaShavuot, Ubechag HaSukkot. You're supposed to come to the Beit HaMikdash on these three festivals. So what do you think the Gemara is going to do? Compare Shavuot to Pesach and Sukkot. And just as by Pesach and Sukkot there are makeup days of 7 days, so too by Shavuot there are makeup days of 7 days. Today is day number 2 of the makeup. Because in Eretz Yisrael, yesterday was a weekday. It wasn't the second day of Yontif. So yesterday was the first makeup day for Shavuot. Today is the second makeup day for Shavuot. And you are allowed to bring them until an entire week lapses. So this year, with Shavuos, the first day, and in Israel, the only day, was Sunday, the last day will be Shabbat. You can't bring any korbanot on Shabbat. So this year, because the way the calendar falls out, there are always only six days. But some you can have before Shabbos and some after Shabbos. Here you have 6 continuous days during which you can bring your korban, and then that's it. But how do I know that the halacha exists? Based on a comparison between Chag HaShavuot and Chag HaSukkot. That's a drash which the Gemara makes. Ma Chag HaMatzot yesh lo tashlumin kol shiva, af Chag HaShavuot yesh lo tashlumin kol shiva. Yes.
How did they decide 7 and not 8?
That's the Gemara's next question. Excellent question. Maybe they should compare Shavuos to Sukkos. And Shavuos, Sukkos, Yaveh. So the Gemara deals with that. I don't want to get into that. Now, I said earlier that this is counterintuitive. Why is this illogical and counterintuitive? Tell me why.
Because it's not a chag.
How are you bringing korbanot chagigah if it's today is not a chag? You're allowed to go to work. You can do whatever you please. There is no sanctity. There is no mitzvah to eat meat. No mitzvah to drink wine. No special davening. You know, in what way is today it all resembling the Yontov of Shavuos? But nonetheless, the Gemara posits this particular halacha and has no problem accepting it, despite the fact that it's very difficult conceptually to understand. Yes. But Chol HaMoed has Kedusha. The Pasuk calls Chol HaMoed Mikra Kodesh. You have to have something that shows that it has a quality of Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, there is a machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the Isur of Melacha on Chol HaMoed is the Oraita or the Rabbanan. Rambam believes, mit the Oraita, you're not allowed to do Melacha on Chol HaMoed unless you're doing Melacha to prepare food or to have a good time, to enjoy the Chag. But business work, according to the Rambam, is not supposed to be done. In fact, there are many poskim who claim that if you're entitled to vacation, you have to use via vacation for Chol HaMoed. And you're not supposed to work. We treat it a little loosely. But according to the Gemara, it's not to be treated loosely. So we say Ya'aleh V'yavo in davening. We recite Hallel. So I see the festival components of the 6 days that follow the Chag. Today, there's no Hallel, there's no nothing, there's no mitzvah, lakat ne'rot, there's zero. And yet, I'm coming to the Beis HaMikdash to acknowledge Chag HaShavuot. Again, I don't have a good rationale. I'm just pointing out something is very bizarre about this particular halacha, yet it's coded and everybody quotes it. Everybody quotes it. This is one halacha that is very strange. Then there is a second halacha that is very strange. And just as an aside, does this halacha have any practical application today, in our day and age? There's no Beit HaMikdash. What? Okay, that's a debate. There, you don't say tachanun during davening. So the Raman Shulchan Aruch says the only day you don't say tachanun after Shavuot is today. What is the name of today? Isru Chag, the day after Yom Tov. But starting tomorrow, you do say tachanun, according to the Ramah. However, in many shuls, we not included, which are always looking for excuses not to say tachanun to shorten the davening by 5 minutes, the guys can get out a couple of minutes earlier, we don't say. Why? Because in effect, today has a little celebratory nature due to the fact that had the Beit HaMikdash been standing, we would have been able to offer our korbanot on that these particular days. All week? Yes. Until Sunday, until the 13th day of the month of Nisan, we will not recite Tachanun. Yes. Of Sivan, right. Of Sivan, exactly. When I grew up, I davened during the week in a shtibel in Borough Park. And there, the only time they asked the question was, why are we saying Tachlin today? Yes, because they observed every Rebbe's Yahrzeit who ever lived. So there were only 5 days a year that a Rebbe didn't have a Yahrzeit. So if the Pavusukman Tachlin hand, oh, Nishtu can you say? But when the norm was, you don't say Tachlin, there is a Rebbe's Yahrzeit to be observed. And the way the Hasidim observe a Yahrzeit is by injecting a festive element. They make a Kiddush and so on and so forth. Misnagdim fast on a and the Mechaber, that's what the Mechaber says. You're supposed to fast on a Yahrzeit. Not give a little Kiddush. That's the primary way to observe a Yahrzeit. Anyhow, so that's the only way in which this plays any role today, because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash and there are no Korbanot. But there is another halacha related to Yom Tov that again plays its role on a weekday, which is incredibly unusual. Incredibly unusual. So, yeah. So we're going to start with on page 3, and then go immediately to page 4. And here is the Gemara, which says about the similarities. Amalahen, Shmini Atzeres, Regel Bifnei Atzmohu. It is its own independent Yom Tov. Even though it's part of Sukkot, it has its own features. Shekeshem Shishivat Yemei HaChag, Teunin Korban, Veshir, Ubracha Velina, Af Shmini Taun Korban, Veshir, Ubracha Velina. I'm going to explain all the terms. The 7 days of Sukkot require a korban. That's referring to a korban musaf. Each day of Sukkot has its own unique korban musaf. Unique korban musaf. Not so Pesach. Pesach, the same korban musaf that is brought on day number 1 is brought on days 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. By Sukkot, the korbanot are almost identical, except for the number of bulls that are brought. On day number 1 of Sukkot, you bring 13 bulls. On day number 2 of Sukkot, 12 bulls. Until you get down to 7. And then if you took AP calculus, you'll add up 13, 12, and you wind up with 70. We bring 70 bulls during the course of the 7 days to symbolize the 70 nations of the world. Shivim umot. What?
Every person?
No, this is a korban tzibur. This is brought in the Beit HaMikdash. Then, Shmini Atzeret has its own unique korban. And it brings only one bull to symbolize Am Yisrael. So the 70 are brought to somehow symbolize, commemorate the rest of the nations of the world, that they too require God's mercy and compassion. And then we highlight the unique role of Am Yisrael with one bull. Fine. So it shares a feature with Sukkot. Sukkot has a different korban every day. Shmini Atzeret has a different korban every day. Number 2, Shir. There is a Shir Shel Yom for every single day of Sukkot. We never recite the special Shir of Yomim Tovim or special days in the calendar. We always, when we say the Shir Shel Yom, we always follow what day of the week it is. And if there is some reason to engage in another shir, such as on Rosh Chodesh, where we read Barchi Nafshi, chapter 104, we do it in addition to the regular weekday. So if last week was Chodesh was Tuesday, so we read Hayom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, after we said Mizmor La'asaf, then we said Baruchi Nafshi as well. That's not the way it was done in the Beit HaMikdash. And the Vilna Gaon practiced the way it was done in the Beit HaMikdash. Whenever there was a special day, the regular shiur of the day of the week was omitted. So last Tuesday, the Gaon and in the Beit HaMikdash, they only sang Baruchi Nafshi. Only Baruchi Nafshi. But each day of the Chag, every Chag, has its own special song. Day number one has a special song. Day number two is a special song. And as you well know, the Levium would sing the song, and others would be playing musical instruments. There was an orchestra, a philharmonic orchestra, accompanying the singing of the song. And if the Levi family of the Levines can't sing songs, they become doormen. That's it. Because Levium only have two tasks. Either they are singers in the choir, or they open and close the doors of the Beit HaMikdash. That's what they do. Okay, in the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't really wash the hands of the Kohanim. Okay, it's a good point. It's a good point. Today, that's what the Levim do. We want to give them something to do.
They can hold the door.
Yes. So, Shmini Atzeret also has its own shear. So it emulates Sukkot. Sukkot each day has its own song. So does Shmini Atzeret. Number three, Biracha. What bracha are we talking about? So Rashi says it means Birchat Zman. What is the name of the bracha Birchat Zman? Shechianu. So on Sukkot, we recite a Shechianu. Now, do we recite a Shechianu on the last night of Pesach? No. It's the only two nights in Chutz La'aretz when the distinguished ladies of this room light candles. That's the only yontif you don't say a Shechianu. The last two nights of Pesach. In Eretz Yisrael, just the seventh night. Here it's the seventh and the eighth. But Shmini Atzeret, we have a Shechianu. Because the Bugamara says that it earns its own biracha. And Rashi, and we're operating with Rashi, it means the bracha of Zman. Then Lina. Lina. Does anybody want to take a stab at Lina? Mazalina Lalun? Sleepover. Yes. When you bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash any day of the year, you are not permitted to go home that night. You have to spend a night in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh.
It's not nice to be running away.
What?
It's not nice to
Yes, that's exactly it. Correct. So you have to spend at least one night in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. So just as this halacha applies, if you bring a korban on Sukkot, it applies as well. If you bring your korbanot on Shmini Atzeret, you have to sleep over until the next day, until Isru Chag, and then you can go home. You're not allowed to go home the same day that you arrive in the Beit HaMikdash. So all of these halachot are relevant for Shmini Atzeret. The halacha that we're going to focus on is Zman. Is Zman. And we now go to page number four. Yeah.
Let's ask you a question.
I'm sure.
With the Shavuos, we know that obviously it will be the second day, but we also know the whole counting that it seems of all 7 days is the most, in a way, unusual that you need it. Why, let's say, when we said Shachianu on the second night,
yeah,
for all holidays, that should be one of those things where you shouldn't, like we have new food on the time. I almost thought, right, until we now have something doctor.
Because the only reason why we... Yeah, Yom Arichta. Because you may not be required to recite a Shehecheyanu if it's considered one day, an elongated day. All of the other Chagim are definitely two separate days. And they are designed to replicate what happened when there was a real element of doubt.
Right, I just threw this on with the counting, so we thought there was even the least doubt because of Shavuot, so that
right.
Resonated that it felt strange.
Good, it is. It should sound strange. And Tosfot said, logically, there should be no observance of second day of Shavuot for that reason. Mm-hmm. But we do it just to maintain consistency between Pesach.
Surprised they didn't throw in one of those things to do something new to cover it. Well,
okay. 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 I hear. No problem.
He just said yes. Tell your husband.
Yeah. Now, the Gemara will deal with the following issue. Somebody lit candles on the first night of Sukkot. First night of Pesach, and forgot to make a Shehecheyanu.
You do it at Kiddush, so...
Okay. The hubby was an airhead as well, and he forgot to make the Shehecheyanu when he made Kiddush. So what do you think should be done? Tell me what you think should be done. What?
Say whatever you remember.
Yeah, the next meal.
No.
So,
I don't know why you need to wait for a meal either. Why couldn't you just say whatever you remember?
Okay, but you didn't remember the whole first day. Now what happens?
Now it's the second day.
It's the second day already.
I'm going to say it twice.
So forget about America. We're in Israel.
Only one chance.
It's the first night. I blew it. Day's over. It's now Chol HaMoed. What would you say I should do?
You can bring the carbon again. You have the 8 days to bring.
Okay.
So then you should have time to say Shehecheyanu again.
Okay. So give me that's a good point. But give me even more direct logic why you think you can make a Shehecheyanu on the first day of Chol HaMoed, second day of Chol HaMoed, third day of Chol HaMoed. Say it sharper. Think about the text of what I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Why do I make a Shehecheyanu when I'm lighting candles for Sukkot? Tell me why. Why do you make a Shehecheyanu?
You're
waiting
to the
Korban? Because you're waiting to this time.
Good. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, that I made it to Sukkot of 5,779.
So it's still Sukkot. Huh?
Good. Exactly it. Since it is still Sukkot, it is appropriate to thank God that I have healthy and well, and I have made it until when? Until Sukkot, until the Sukkot of this year. So when should be the last time that you can make a Shehecheyanu? The last day. That's it.
Make it up the day after.
Of course, it would make no sense to thank God.
You mean past?
Yeah. Oh, I made it. I missed it. So that is perfectly logical. Perfectly logical. So now, what question do you think will be asked? What question will you think will be asked? Ah! What are you going to do about Shavuos? Okay, so now, when will you be reciting the Shehecheyanu? On a weekday. Does that make any sense?
Well, maybe you could have a chance.
Does that make any sense?
Maybe you have a chance for one day.
Okay, but I'm talking about 6-7 days.
Whoa, no, whoa. We just said that doesn't make sense to say the day after Sukkot.
Good. So now let's see. Now we're going to see another situation where a Shehecheyanu could be recited during a weekday, even though you didn't forget. I'm going to show you a case now of where you made a Shehecheyanu during a weekday and it's not because you forgot. And then we're going to apply this to the situation of Shavuot. Please go to page 5 for a minute. Page 5. This is a very well-known Gemara. Ha'oseh lulav la'atzmo Omer Baruch Shechayana v'kiyimana v'giyana zman hazeh. Look at line 2 in the middle. Ha'oseh sukkah la'atzmo Omer Baruch Shechayana v'kiyimana v'giyana zman hazeh. The Gemara says that when you build your sukkah, then when are you definitely building your sukkah? Weekday or Yontif?
Weekday.
Of course. You're allowed to recite the Shechayanu, which is applicable to what? To the sukkah. You can recite that then. And then you don't have to recite a Shechayanu when you make kiddush or light candles the first night of Sukkot. That's what the Gemara says. Or if you're making your lulav, what would you call making a lulav? What does that mean? Putting in the hadasim on the right hand side into the little holders. Putting in the aravot, putting the tie on the bottom. Yeah, that's making it. You're allowed to recite, even though there's no mitzvah to live in the sukkah, there's no mitzvah to take lulav on the 3 days before Sukkot. There is none. But you can make your shechianu when you make your sukkah and when you make your lulav. And then you do not have to recite the Shechayanu either at Kiddush or when you light candles, when you're going in to eat in the sukkah for the first time, you don't have to. Or when you take the lulav on the first day of Sukkot, you just say Al Netilat Lulav and don't make a Shechayanu. Because you already said it. Now I want you to ask Tosfot's question on this Gemara. In light of what we said 3 minutes ago about the function of the Shechayanu on Yom Tov.
We haven't gotten to this place.
You're on the right track, haven't gotten to it, because there's no mitzvah to take the lulav in the sukkah, but what else?
So say
Shabbat. I have not yet, even though I thank God for the opportunity to live in the sukkah, what have I not thanked God yet for?
Getting
me to the chag. That's what the normal Shechayanu is. Shechayanu, lazman hazeh, to observe the Yom Tov. And you can't make the bracha to observe the Yom Tov until when? Until Yom Tov arrives. So listen to what Tosfot is going to say. Listen to what Tosfot is going to say. Turn to page 6 for a minute. Turn to page 6 for a minute. In the caption of Tosfot is Nichnas Leisheva Mevarech Leisheva Sukkah. And I want you to look in the on the second line, fifth word, where it says Vitema. Everybody have it? Vitema. It says Bamir Avunder. Akash is like Avunder. Is I'm puzzled, perplexed, even stronger than a question. Vitema. Vitepukle the Mevarech Mishum Yom Tov. Kimoshi Mevarchin a Yom Tov de Pesach. Veatzeres the Chol Shar Yom Tovim. You should have to make a Shechayanu a second time when you make Kiddush, just like when you make Kiddush on Pesach night, and on Shavuos night, and on Rosh Hashanah night. So just because I made a Shechayanu upon building my sukkah, thanking God that I am living to fulfill the mitzvah of building the sukkah, or making my lulav, that means I don't make a Shechayanu at all when I'm going to make Kiddush or light candles on Yom Tov night? That makes no sense. That makes no sense whatsoever. So what is Tosis going to tell us? Illogically, what is Tosis going to say? Tell me what you think, Tosis. No, he says you don't say it again. So tell me, that would be logical. Say it again. Tosis says, no, you don't say it again. So what is Tosis going to propose? The illogical. What is the illogical in this regard?
But if you forget, you could...
No, not forgetting it. What is the illogical?
Because
Could we say that Zman is meant very loosely?
Good. Yes. That if you make a Shechayanu 3 days before Sukkot, I'm also thanking God for having reached what? The holiday of Sukkot. Even though it's not yet Sukkot.
Then you're going to say the same thing for after the holiday's over.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm going to say. So Tosfot posits that even though it makes very little sense that I would rely on a bracha of Shechayanu, which I recite when I build my sukkah or put together my lulav, and that discharges my entire obligation of saying a Shechayanu at Kiddush or Hadlakat Beirot, I will not make another Shechayanu. I will only say Leishev Basuka. I will not say Shechayanu. I will only say Al Netilat Lulav, but not make a Shechayanu. Why? Because that Shechayanu serves two purposes. It serves the purpose of thanking God that I have the opportunity to perform the special rituals of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Plus, it thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have arrived and I'm capable, I'm healthy enough to observe the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Even though I'm making it 3 days before Sukkot. How early do you think you'd be able to make a sukkah and make a Shechayanu, and that should cover? If I make a sukkah on Purim, would you say that's enough to cover the yantar of sukkahs? Can you? No. How much? No. There's another criterion halacha that we use. 30 days. 30 days. Who said? Good. Excellent. 30 days. Because 30 days is a criteria that when 30 days before a Chag comes, what are you supposed to do? Supposed to start learning all the halachot of the Chag, start preparing. So if you do it by the 15th day of the month of Elul, that is okay. After the 15th day of the month of Elul. But if you do it Tisha B'Av, you're building your sukkah on Tisha B'Av, and you make a Shechayanu, can't make a Shechayanu on Tisha B'Av. And that should count for your observance of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Yeah.
So, in general, when we make a Shechayanu, I know you're saying we're talking now about Zman, but mostly Shechayanus are tied to a mitzvah.
No, they're also tied to a day.
Okay, but they're also tied to a mitzvah.
Correct, but that's you do that when you do the mitzvah. When you take a lulav, the first day of, you make another Shechayanu.
The mitzvah is on the day.
Yeah.
The
yes.
What is
that?
If you build a sukkah that much before, the likelihood it's going to be knocked down by the wind. So then do you, when you rebuild it, are you supposed to make another Shechayanu?
No. No, you don't. Well, you always make a Shechayanu once per activity. Just once. So now that Tosfot establishes a principle that a Shechayanu is appropriate during the week and to cover the sanctity of the day, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for having given me the health to observe Sukkot and Pesach, what now happens with Shavuos when you forgot it at night? You make it after Yom Tov. During the week.
You have 30 days.
Okay. So that would have been the logic, but we say no. Right. It's only during the 7 days during which you can make up your korban. So again, it's an oddity. You're saying Shechayanu on a weekday, no trace of a Yom Tov, especially today when there are no korbanot, no trace. You go to work, it's just a regular, ordinary Tuesday night. And what happens? I'll make a Shechayanu. And then there is another debate. How do you recite that Shechayanu? So I'm going to introduce a halacha here and tell you not to change your practice, God forbid. I'm just going to tell you what some poskim say you should do. The Gemara says you're allowed to recite a Shechayanu afilu bashuk. Mazeshuk? In the market. It means It doesn't have to be together with a kos. It's preferred that it be done al hakos. Preferred. That's why the men recite the Shechiyanu for the Chag when? At the end of Kiddush. Because they have a kos in their hand. The Gemara prefers that Shechiyanu be recited al hakos. It's based on a general principle that praise of God is often recited al hayayin. We have a yayin when you have a brit milah. You have yayin when you have a pidyon haben. You have a yayin when you have a wedding. Exactly. So shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is often al hayayin. So I'm going to thank God for having survived another year and I've reached this Yom Tov, so it's recited al hayayin. Now, so the Gemara says, if I forgot it on the first night of Yom Tov, and I do it Chol HaMoed, I should actually take a cup of wine, recite a Bar Pri HaGafen, and a Shechiyanu. And a Shechiyanu.
By benching.
What?
Maybe you should do it by benching.
You can do it by benching too, because there's a coast there anyhow. But if you don't, one second, if you don't, even if you just do it in the market, in the shuk, that's okay as well. That's okay as well. What would you say about somebody who's going to make the Shechiyanu today? Because he forgot to say it on Saturday night. He didn't say it on Sunday night either. Didn't say Shechiyanu for Shavuos. So we just said that he can make it up during this week. Should he bother taking out a cup of wine? Or is the wine only related to what? To a Yom Tov experience. To a Yom Tov experience. What would you say? Should he necessarily try to say the Shechiyanu on a cup of wine?
Yes, you say when you
good. Correct. Good. Because it's Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he should if he has wine available. The Gemara didn't demand it because in the time of the Gemara, most people did not have wine available during the week. Most did not. In fact, during the second Beit HaMikdash, that's when they inserted Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei on Saturday night. Atachon Antanu. Why did we put Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei? Because they didn't have any wine. So they people were so poor, they didn't have wine. They barely had wine for Kiddush. Barely had wine for Kiddush. So here, during the week, they didn't expect it. But indeed, if you had wine available, it would be the appropriate thing to what? To recite the Shechiyanu alayai. Now comes Ovadia Yosef and many other poskim who say, my dear, wonderful women, when you light candles, do you recite it holding a cup of wine? Shechiyanu? No. Therefore, he recommends that women should not recite a Shechiyanu when you light candles, and have in mind to be yotze your Shechiyanu during the recitation of Kiddush. And you will fulfill your obligation of Kiddush by listening, or if you make it on your own, but I would venture to say most people here don't make their own Kiddush on Friday night or Yom Tov night. Some do, but most don't. So you would be yotze the Kiddush and the Shechiyanu through the principle of Shomeya Keone, that when you hear something, it's as if you say it. He recommends not to recite a Shechiyanu. And in fact, he goes so far, does Ovadia Yosef, that if you did make your Shechiyanu at the time of what? Hadlakat Neirot, you should not answer Amen to your husband's Shechiyanu at Kiddush. Because that's as if you said the Shechiyanu again. We say Shechiyanu. You already said Shechiyanu. That's how far he goes.
If you make any bracha, and you hear somebody else make the same bracha, you would answer him.
Correct. That's just standing around. But here you're in the middle of Kiddush. and you're in the middle of Kiddush, you can't be mafsik in the middle of Kiddush, he claims, with an amen that's not relevant to you. Yes, he thinks it's a hafsik. That's, no, I'm telling you, you don't listen to him. No, even if you were a Sephardi.
But the question is, why yes. do...
No, if you're a Sephardi, you should listen to Avad Yosef. That's true. But he's not the only one. There are other Ashkenazic poskim as well who make this. And I could very well see one of your children coming home say, my Rebbe told me this. Mm-hmm. And you just tell him, sorry, buddy. This is the way I do it. And this is the way I was taught. You make a Shechianu in your Madrig Neros. Yes.
So my question is, what's the original source of why women say the Shachianu by Hadlakat Neiro? In my head, the reason we do it then is because that's our first acceptance of the holiday. We want to say
That's exactly it. Time. Correct. So that is precisely it.
Ignore that first. I mean, I don't. That doesn't sit well. This is our first acceptance
Correct.
Of the holiday.
It is your time to accept the holiday. That's when you
so
are
most excited.
Correct.
The
that's exactly here. Why so the minhag became, right. even in the absence of a kos. Right. Correct. Precisely.
So to cover both things, I mean, I don't want to do this, but why don't we just say Kiddush Tam is it too early? Like at the same time?
No, it's not too early. The minute you're allowed to light candles is the minute you're allowed to recite Kiddush.
In theory,
it would cover if you would make your own Kiddush.
But no.
But what you have to do is that once you make Kiddush, you have to observe Yom Tov. By Hadlakat Neirot, there is a Tanai, you're allowed to make a condition that I will light the candles. Let's assume you have to go with somebody else for dinner. Okay? But I'm saying it happens. That Tanai doesn't work by Kiddush. Yes.
So what happens if you didn't say Shechianu on the candles, lighting candles? Since you have 7 days to make
yes.
Shechianu, do you have to light candles?
No, no, candles? No, you don't. The best thing would be take a kos. Yes, like everybody else who failed to make a Shechianu at Kiddush. You pick up a kos, just say Boyer Priya Gafen Shechianu.
But if you forgot it, then I can't. You probably
heard it. Right. But we're talking about a family of airheads.
Right.
Not only nobody remembered. The whole family is suffering this disease. Yes.
What they're saying is if a family member you forgot and now it's days later, you're taking the cup, you're making bar pregatha, then you say Shechino, and then you're taking a sip of water.
Yes.
But the Shechino is not a
interruption. It's not a what?
It's not an interruption.
No. Because that's the way it's supposed to be done. Just like you make the bracha by a bris. Barir Pi Agafen, and then Asher Kiddush did be beten. Just like you do it by a wedding. You make the Barir Pi Agafen, then recite the Sheva Brachot. Then you drink the wine. Yes.
Is this all related to the way if you forget or you didn't make Havdalah that you have until...
No, that's a separate halacha. It's a separate halacha. If you forget Havdalah, you can make it till Tuesday night.
Right.
You can't do that with Kiddush. If you forgot to make Kiddush on Friday night, you can't make it on Sunday. Yeah. All right, we'll stop here. Continue next Devach, next week, regular Wednesday.
Okay.
It's probably the last year next week. Oh, because I'll be out of town on following week.
Okay.
Yes.
I was at a different shul over Yantip, and the rabbi made a big speech, and he said that when you make Havdalah after Shabbos, when it's Yantip, people take two candles and they hold them together to make the Havdalah candle, mm-hmm. right? In order to say that.
Right.
So he said that you're not allowed to do that because when you put the two candles together, you cannot separate them because you're diminishing the flame.
I heard of it, but I don't think they said it.
So he said, the halacha says, as long as you have two candles that are in a tefach of each other,
it's enough.
That's enough.
You're not really, it might look like, but nobody, you don't diminish a flame. You know, you don't extinguish a flame by separating.
Right, so when you originally light your unlit candle from your stove top,
right.
then you can't.
Oh. Oh. Yeah.
Same thing.
That's what they said. They talk about.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.